Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and my goal is to help you succeed with test automation awesomeness. And today, we're going to be served up some very tasty Selenium tips with Umesh Gandicha, author of the Selenium Testing Tools Cookbook. Umesh shares with us all kinds of recipes to be successful with test automation that will leave you saying, that was some good automation awesomeness. And make sure to wait till the very end to hear a Test Talks exclusive. So check it out. Hi, Umesh. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Happy Independence Day. It is Independence Day in India, so happy Independence Day.
Thanks.
So Umesh, before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I started as a developer in the beginning of my career in the IT. I was a developer on Microsoft stack, writing software for retail industry. I spent a few years writing the software for barcoding machines and till operations. And later, I got into a company. They wanted to develop some internal applications. It was a third-party testing company. And they wanted to develop applications for their internal purposes. And then I got to learn automation tools, WinRunner and QTP, I think QTP 6.5 that time. And I came into software testing world accidentally, more specifically into the automation. So I spent almost 10 years now, working in the software testing and automation. Initially, I was part of a third-party testing company, and later I got into different organizations and helping teams build automation, implement tools like UFT, Test Complete, Selenium.
Oh, that sounds awesome. It sounds like you have a lot of experience with test automation, not in just one specific tool, but it sounds like a bunch of different tools, so that's awesome. What I'd like to start off talking about is your book, Selenium Testing Tools Cookbook. What was the main reason for you writing the Selenium Cookbook?
I think a few years back, I was doing a lot of training around Selenium and helping teams get started with Selenium, implement Selenium in their testing processes, build frameworks. And during that time, I was like limited documentation available on the Selenium, or there are different resources available on the internet, but there is no single or collective documentation that is available. And I started collecting a lot of recipes around the things that I was implementing or the questions that I heard in trainings. And at the same time, my publisher, he came to me and he checked my interest in writing such a book. And that was the beginning, the experience that I built over the years, I just written into the book.
What I really like about your book is that it covers a lot of things that you don't find in many Selenium books, like the way to extend Selenium. So are there any recipes that you cover in the Selenium Testing Cookbook that you think most people using Selenium are not aware of that they can do?
Yeah, this book covers, I think there are around 12 different chapters covering different recipes from the beginning to implementing the advanced frameworks or page object patterns. There are a few chapters which are not included in the book and they're available for pre-download. And they talk about, how to set up the Selenium grid or, how to set up, your Selenium test with continuous integration tools like Jenkins, or how to set up a Maven project. And a lot of people, in my experience so far, still looking at areas like, how they can use the page objects or how they can use, Selenium for testing mobile applications.
So what Selenium add-in do you prefer to use for testing mobile apps?
I started with APM. APM is a very cool project, and it has support for three different platforms at this moment. So you can test Android applications, or you can test iOS and Firefox OS applications. And it is turning out to be a blockbuster tool for testing mobile applications. So my book, it originally covers the iPhone and Android drivers. We are very soon going to update the book, and we'll be including a lot about APM.
Awesome. Yeah, look forward to getting the update. Do you have a favorite, or what's your most popular recipe in your book?
It's really hard, but the most frequently used recipe that I can tell you is about, you know, extending the Selenium WebDriver API to support, you know, different types of controls. I know that we have in typical HTML applications. So I think there are recipes around, you know, how to create a wrapper object for a web table, and you know how you can use a similar way to build wrapper object for various types of controls like radio buttons and checkboxes. Or you find a lot of these AJAX frameworks like jQuery UI or GWT, and how you can create a wrappers around the controls that are available from these toolkits.
Awesome. So if you were to create a Selenium framework from scratch, say today, what Selenium language binding would you use?
My preference goes to Java, because a lot of implementations today exist in Java and tend to be quick and easy to build framework within the Java environment. And you have lots of other tools, like whether they're test runners or libraries like, you know, Apache libraries, or is the framework development, and you can add lots of features.
Do you know if there are any open source Selenium frameworks out there that people can leverage that you would recommend, so they don't have to start from scratch?
There are multiple frameworks. My personal choice, you know, or my favorite ones are, if you are from the Java Groovy world, you can use the JBeach. It's really a really nice framework, and you know, it does a lot of, what do you say, heavy lifting for you. It has a lot of features around a clean API, a fluent interface, you know, you can build your test very easily, and lots of other things that you can do with the Groovy, or I know you can also use the Java classes within your scripts. Other framework, you know, that I want to mention is for non-technical testers. Is recently I came across a framework called Redwood HQ. It's a really nice framework. It's a set of tools for non-technical testers who want to get started with Selenium.
I get a lot of questions sometimes from beginners that ask for advice, so it's good to have a list of what other people are using. What is the best advice you can give someone who is working on creating a new automation framework?
In general, you know, irrespective of any tool that you use, I think what you should consider is you need to define your goals on automation around your framework, what you're going to achieve out of it. A lot of people, they design framework with a lot of complexity. So the important thing is ease of use. How, you know, you need to consider, you know, you get into the shoes of your users and design your framework considering the end users that are going to use the framework. It should be easy to use, easy to configure, and it will help tester to achieve what he wants to achieve from the automation. Because when you start designing a new framework, you know, you should have a list of high-level objective for what you're trying to achieve out of that framework. You need to set some guiding principles.
So I definitely agree with the guiding principles. I started a framework recently with a new group, and I started with what the high-level principles are. And when I lay that out to the team, they're able to follow it, and they have something to look towards, because without that high-level information, people start doing all kinds of crazy things. So I definitely agree with that.
Exactly. That's the point I want to highlight, because what happens is, you know, people start building the framework, but then they start adding a lot of technical complexity because, you know, they want to try a lot of features, do things like, you know, reporting.
Is there one way or one method you think that people can use reporting, but it's an easy level, it's not overkill or over technical?
In terms of reporting, you know, it should help the technical testers, as well as, you know, it should also you know, readable to the stakeholders. So the reporting of test results should be done in such a way that it should be easily understood by all the stakeholders, whether they are technical users or they are business users. So you should have multiple levels of logging or multiple levels of information being sent, kept in some repository, so that if technical tester wants to analyze the results on a granular level, they should be able to derive the meaning of the actions that are happening. Or when it comes to a business user or a project manager, he should see a high level information that is generated from your test execution. And you should have a tiered reporting structure that can save the time of in failure analysis. And it is also important to, apart from the reporting the test outcomes, you should also report certain other aspects of your test, you know, like the diagnostic information, like, you know, how much time that particular test is taking, or what kind of issues it is reporting, so that you can use that information side, whether you know you want to understand the health of your tests.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think your book actually has a section on this for performance testing, diagnostics on the client side.
Yeah, so there is a whole lot chapter on, you know, how you can use Selenium for the client-side performance analysis. So you can use these third-party or these tools like Dynatrace or HTTP Watch, or you can use the browser mob, and you can collect client-side performance, you know, data, which helps in kind of profiling your JavaScript or the resources that are downloaded or along with your page, and you can use that information to fine-tune your client-side experience. So I think the client-side performance testing is getting important these days, and there is a conscious effort done by various teams in using various ways to capture the performance data and use that data. And I think a lot of other tools are integrating with Selenium so that you can integrate Selenium scripts with these tools to capture the information.
I think that you make a great point. We're actually working on new development using AngularJS, and a lot of that is client-side development, and the manager's always asking, what's the timing? When I think of performance, I always think of load testing, but you're so right. The client side is becoming more and more important. So for the people listening here, grab the book. There's a whole chapter on client-side performance testing that I think is going to help a lot of people. So is the one thing you see over and over again in your experience that most people creating Selenium tests are doing wrong?
I have a different views here, Joe. What I see is, you know, different trends. You know, there are a set of people who have been using these commercial record and replay tools, and you know what they're trying to do is implement a similar approach that they have seen previously in these tools. And I know a crazy example where a team was trying to write Selenium test, and you know what they did is they actually a UI like QTP, and it enabled the users to record and replay scripts, Selenium scripts, using a nice IDE. But I think that is overkill. It makes things overly complex. And what you need is a lightweight approach when you build Selenium scripts. There is another set of people, you know, who come from some development background, or could be developers or software engineers in software developers in test. And what they do is their approach is more of using test runners like JUnit or TestNG or the tools like that, and build automation, you know, which is within from the development IDE. So my advice is when start implementing the Selenium, start small, and then once you see benefits of it, then get into it, whether you want to build a kind of a scriptless tool, or you want to, you know, stick with the development environment and implement your Selenium testing within the JUnit or MS Test or NUnit, or probably use BDD tools like Specflow or Cucumber.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Sometimes I find out a lot of people spend a lot of time creating a framework, and a lot of the functionality might not ever be used. So if you treat it almost like an agile project and only create what you need at that time, I think it solves a lot of feature creep and a lot of overcode that you don't need.
And Selenium is just an, you know, browser automation library. So it's just an API. It's not testing tool. So what makes it testing tool is either you use these test runners like JUnit, TestNG, or on the .NET side, MS Test or NUnit, or you can build your own approach. But that approach, you know, has to be a lightweight, maintainable, and should not be an overkill. Like a lot of people try to build these scriptless Excel-based frameworks.
Age-old question, what's better, JUnit or TestNG?
My personal choice is TestNG, because it's really versatile in terms of running your test in distributed parallel, you know, architecture. So the multi-threading capabilities of TestNG are really powerful.
Do you have any advice on how to handle test data management when running automation Selenium tests?
It's an interesting question and definitely hard to answer. But yep. The approach that I have used, you know, I have experience in managing a very large automation program. We had a high volume test, you know, we used to run around 2,000 tests with around a million checks every week, and was testing different applications, set of applications, and testing the dependency between these applications. So we had this problem of test data management, where the tests were end-to-end tests going through different workflows and dependencies and a lot of other complexity. So the simple approach that we use was we use the control databases And we hired a database administrator in our testing team to manage our databases, create the snapshot based on the test plans or batches or that we had, and considering the dependency between these tests and create the database snapshots, restore the databases during the test runs based on the failures, or sync the test scripts or a group of test scripts based on other interaction with the functionality. So the simplest solution is to have a control database.
Great. Yeah, great advice. I'm working with a team, but there are 7-8 Scrum teams. And a lot of times they reuse, they'll make changes to data that another team expects to be in a certain state. So it's been a nightmare to try to actually get everyone in like a test data management matrix or something, so everyone knows what data is required, who's using what, and how to back things up so corruption doesn't happen. But I think that's good advice about the control database. Excellent. What do you recommend to make Selenium tests more maintainable and less brittle?
Any automation is like developing a software, so it has to be done carefully. You should use same approach that you develop a software, same methodologies, same principles, and build a successful automation with Selenium. You should use the general standards around. It requires the same discipline as software development, and you should use the structured programming and good programming practices. Treat your automation code as your production code. You should have standards for your automated scripts, same as your development standards. Use the design patterns, especially if you're developing Selenium script, and probably you'll be using Java or .NET, and there are lots of good design patterns that you can use. For example, page object is one of the design patterns. It came from the experts like Martin Fowler, who expert in design patterns. You should use the good practices like page objects to abstract your page functionality from your tests. You should have a good review practices and refactoring of your code. It should be done very carefully.
I agree. Last year, we were doing a different development, and we didn't have... It was going so quickly that we didn't have things in place for best practices and code reviews. But this year, we started a new project, and we started using best practices and code reviews, using Code Collaborator. For any type of test that goes into our integration branch has to be code reviewed, and it's made the biggest difference. Are there any tools that you use besides Selenium that helps you do your job better with test automation?
Currently, I'm working with an organization where, my role is to help teams bring in the automation. So my job is to enable them to use automation in most effective way. And I have to deal with a diverse set of technologies. Again, it could be desktop applications or web applications or mobile applications. Apart from the Selenium, I also deal in tools like TestComplete or UFT and SOAP UI. And also, we also build a lot of custom tools around Python, or we have some projects where we need to do a very large volume data comparisons, and we write Perl and Python's code, Python for comparing the data between different environments, different sources.
Yeah, I think that's an underutilized aspect of automation, that data population, things like that, data comparisons. A lot of that stuff could be automated. It's not necessarily an automation test, but you can automate certain things that will save a lot of time for someone. So are there any resources or books you would recommend to help someone to learn programming or test automation?
The books that I recommend to my teams is for the general test automation ideas and practices. There are two books that are written by Dorothy Graham. It's Software Test Automation and Experience of Test Automation. Those are like Bible to my teams. And they have a lot of information about how to start with automation, how to build automation, how to structure your automation, and a lot of patterns and a lot of experiences that you can leverage upon. So I highly recommend these books. And if you are specifically dealing with Selenium, there are, apart from my book, there are really nice book written by David Burns about Selenium testing tools, beginner guide. And another book from Satya Usarla on Selenium WebDriver Practical Guide. And there are a few more Selenium books coming from my publisher. So, keep watching.
Yeah, my favorite book is Alan Richardson's Java for Testers for Beginners. I think it's a great book for people.
Yeah.
And now, a Test Talks exclusive. So, Unmesh, there's some rumors going around that you're working on a new book. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I definitely want to mention my upcoming book. It is on learning Selenium with Python. So this book, it will help Python community to use the Selenium. It will be launched in a month's time.
Awesome. Is that also going to be on Packet Publishing?
Yeah, it is again from Packet.
Okay, Unmesh, before we go, what is the one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their automation efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
Actually, there are a lot of things. But automation, you know, it's not a silver bullet, okay? And a lot of when they start doing automation, you know, they get dragged away and they get into too much into the frameworks and, you know, their automation do super duper things. But, you know, they lose the focus or the intention of the automation, which is actually, you know, help in testing. And it should, you know, supplement your testing efforts.
It's all about testing. I was watching some training online the other day with the friendly tester. And he mentioned that rather than saying test automation, we should use automation in test. So
exactly.
The focus is on testing, not necessarily on automation is just a tool to help us to do testing. It's not the end goal. The end goal is quality. And we get to quality using a bunch of tools, one of them being automation.
Automation is not testing. Automation, you know, supports testing. You should automate things that are deterministic, repeatable, and so that, you know, your testers can focus on interesting stuff, or they should focus on a lot of effort on building the, you know, framework and proving that framework. We should also consider the outcome of automation. I mean, how it is helping in delivering a quality product, you know, how it is helping me to ensure that the product is built in a highest quality. Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter, or you can send me an email. I do have a blog, but I not actively maintain it. It's unmesh.me.
We look forward to getting the update to the Selenium Testing Tools Cookbook. And we look forward to your brand new book that should be coming out soon about Selenium using Python. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Joe.
Patch alert. Listen up. Patch alert. Listen up.
So I just want to give you a quick heads up if you're a load runner performance test engineer. HP just released its latest patch for load runner 12.1. Now, this update is specifically for True Client Firefox users. And so if you have LoadRunner 12.1, you should go ahead and install this patch. Basically, the patch adds support for Firefox version 30 for users that are using the True Client Firefox protocol. And it also fixes some weird issues that LoadRunner was having with screen resolution when you were testing against an AngularJS application. Using True Client, sometimes there were weird browser rendering issues. If that's something that you're seeing, you definitely want to check out that patch. And as always, this patch and everything else of value that was mentioned in this show will be in the show notes at www.testtalks.com/17. Thank you for joining me on Test Talks. If this show has helped you in any way, please show your support by heading over to iTunes and giving us, hopefully, your 5-star review. Ratings in iTunes do matter in the rankings of the show, and I read each and every one of them. And if you leave a review, I will personally thank you by giving you a shout-out in an upcoming episode. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.